Is it funny? Episode 1. What is comedy anyway? Why start a podcast? Why on this topic? I'm Kate Leary, and while I am a doctor of philosophy, I don't really have any expertise on comedy. No one is begging me to do a podcast. It seems quite pointless, given that everyone and their brothers are starting a podcast in the middle of this pandemic. So why? The truth is, I've had an almost lifelong love of comedy, but not all comedy. I realize I have a deep love for very particular kinds of comedy, and that many people do not share it. Almost for as long as I have loved comedy, I've been aware of this discrepancy. My doctorate is in medieval studies, which probably doesn't sound like a barrel of laughs to most people, but you might be surprised. While the grand poetry of Beowulf was an important part of what lured me into the field, the other part was the Icelandic sagas. Not to get truly niche on you, but even a lot of medievalists aren't very familiar with the sagas, so don't feel bad if you've never heard of them. Unlike Beowulf, they're prose, not poetry. And they have a deadpan sense of humor that just suited me down to the ground. It's a little difficult to describe without going into too much detail, but generally the punchlines of stories tend to be immediately followed by, "and then he fell down dead." Vikings. They traded, they knitted, they navigated with surprising technology as well as ocean-going savvy, and they had an amazing knack for comedy. My current research focuses on medieval Scots writing, like the poet William Dunbar, who wrote a poem about headaches, another about shenanigans in court, and two poems in revenge for the alchemist who captured the king's favor. I think he was bitter because that meant more money for stinky chemicals and less for poetry. Perhaps my favorite, though, is Ralph Collier, The Tale of a Charcoal Burner. Usually, the poets writing in some king's court use peasants like Ralph for cheap laughs. Chaucer has a few of those, though he was as likely to laugh at anyone. The best thing about this Scots peasant is that he gets to cuff the ear of King Charlemagne, who's taken refuge in his house during a storm. Because the king has lied about who he is, he can't exactly complain, though he's quite shocked by the treatment, and that's just the beginning. But I am wandering from my point, and this is something my students are accustomed to experiencing. So, how do we form a sense of humor? Is my belief that I form my sense of humor in early childhood just a fanciful notion, or is there something to it? Why do our senses of humor vary so much? Is it a cultural phenomenon, or is there something innate in us as humans that needs comedy? I can't help thinking that it wasn't long after we started tottering about on two legs that we also discovered the notion that falling down unexpectedly was funny. And while some of us early bipedal beings resented the laughter, there were other two-legged jokers who decided that laughter was something to encourage and sought out new and better and probably more elaborate ways to fall down, the proto-pratfall, if you will. Does humor serve a purpose? Yes, of course. I'm not actually interested at the moment in rehashing the entire history of philosophers ruminating on comedy, but they do go back a ways. One of the oldest texts still extant tells the story of the goddess Inanna and her descent into the underworld of her sister Ereshkigal. Alas, it doesn't focus much on the essence of early humor, but I am sure that as her corpse hung on the wall of her deathly sister's chamber, she had time to ponder the matter, even if her thoughts are now lost from history. I just like talking about Inanna. Certainly men who have plied the philosophy racket over the intervening millennia have pondered the nature of comedy, often at great length. And if you have been tortured with Aristotle, you know what I mean. So I will go with the Bergson Gambit, which I shall quote here and note I will not use a cod French accent. Our excuse for attacking the problem in our turn must lie in the fact that we shall not aim at imprisoning the comic spirit within a definition. Henri Bergson, Laughter, Chapter 1. I will come back to Monsieur Bergson again, but in the meantime use his excuse. I want to look at comedy, as many have done before me, and no doubt many will after, but I want to try to do so without any serious intent other than to explore my fascination with it, in the hopes that it might interest others, and if not, that this particular attack will be no more substantial than the laughter that comedy provokes, a froth that bubbles into the air, leaving nothing tangible behind. Growing up, in my family, comedy was often about the ritual of repetition. We all know the phenomenon of repeating favorite comedy bits. Like beloved movie lines, they both connect us to other fans and to the work itself. But what does a comedy line, often a punchline, do out of context? The container of comedy is a structure and a border. It can be elaborate, like a Rube Goldberg machine, or as simple as a mousetrap. However, if you took the snap out of a mousetrap, it would be useless. Yet if you take a punchline out of a joke, it still snaps, if the listeners, or readers, I suppose, can fill in the trap or joke. Okay, my metaphor is getting as unwieldy as a Rube Goldberg now. If, for example, I were to say, "And I stepped on the ping pong ball," a certain number of people would laugh because they know the reference. Most would be nonplussed, a great word, by the way. Comedy geeks love interesting words. The most marvelous thing about that out-of-context punchline is that it is a punchline from a very badly told and terribly unfunny story in a very funny film. The unfunniness of the story becomes funny by repetition amongst those who know it. Repetition, as the late Mark E. Smith of The Fall famously sang, the three R's, repetition, 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 has an amazing power when it comes to comedy. People speak of comedy threes. Many a joke begins with three men walk into a bar, or three animals, or three, well, whatevers. The repetitive form aids memory, usually. There's a certain League of Gentlemen episode that comes to mind. It also offers a map to the listener. Here is the shape of the joke. Three is reassuring. It's not too long, yet it's enough to give a sense of story. Jokes take time, but they should not take an inconvenient amount of time. Jokes tell a story with a surprise ending. Humor is an essential thing, but we treat it as if it were cheap, like we do all the arts. We don't want to work for a laugh, but if we can be persuaded to stick with it, we feel enormously rewarded. Some will never be willing to work. A quick pie in the face, and they're good. Some of us, however, will sift through the seemingly endless falling sand and delight in the tiny nugget whose sparkle offers a keen delight. That gold makes the sifting worthwhile, and I'm definitely a sifter. So my idea for this podcast is not to tell jokes or even necessarily to try to be funny, but to think about the universal need to laugh and the very specific ways we do and do not laugh. So let me just wrap up with thanks that are owed to Stephanie Johnson for, in her words, zhushing up the logo. Thanks also for encouragement from Adele Waring of the fabulous Fox Spirit Books, that's foxspirit.co.uk, and Kate Shaw of the Strange Animals podcast. She can be found at kcshaw.net. If you want to know more about me, you'll find all my various bits over at kalaity.com. If you do like this podcast, be sure to let people know. I will see you next time.